Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one here right now. About 10 to 15 minutes from now, David Ray will sign in. So in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and play Ron Paul's
with your weekly update for Monday, December 14th. Judging by his primetime speech last week, the final year of Barack Obama's presidency will be marked by increased military abroad and authoritarianism at home. The centerpiece of the president's speech was his demand for a new law forbidding anyone on the federal government's terrorist watch list from purchasing a firearm. There has never been a mass shooter who was on the terrorist watch list, so this proposal will not increase security. However, it will decrease liberty. Federal officials can have an American citizen placed on the terrorist watch list based solely on their suspicions that the individual might be involved in terrorist activities. Individuals placed on the list are not informed that they have been labeled a suspected terrorist, much less given an opportunity to challenge that designation until a Transportation Security Administration agent stops them from boarding a plane. Individuals can be placed on the list if their Facebook or Twitter posts seem suspicious to a federal agent. You can also be placed on a list if your behavior somehow suggests that you are a representative of a terrorist group, even if you have no association with any terrorist organization. Individuals can even be put on the list because the FBI wants to interview them about a friend or family member. Thousands of Americans, including several members of Congress and many employees of the Department of Homeland Security, have been mistakenly placed on the terrorist list. Some Americans are placed on the list because they happen to have the same name as a terrorist suspect. Those mistakenly placed on the terrorist watch list must go through a lengthy redress process to clear their name. It is likely that some Americans are on the list solely because of their political views and activities. Anyone who doubts this should consider the long history of federal agencies such as the IRS and the FBI using their powers to harass political movements that challenges the status quo. Are the American people really so desperate for the illusion of security that they will support a law that results in some Americans losing their Second Amendment rights because of a bureaucratic error or because of their political beliefs? President Obama is also preparing an executive order expanding the federal background check system. Expanding background checks will not keep guns out of the hands of criminals or terrorists. However, it will make obtaining a firearm more difficult for those needing, for example, to defend themselves against an abusive spouse. Sadly, many who understand that new gun control laws will leave us less free and less safe support expanding the surveillance state. Like those promoting gun control, people calling for expanded surveillance do not let facts deter their efforts to take more of our liberties. There is no evidence that mass surveillance has prevented even one terrorist attack. Expanding government power will not increase our safety. It will only diminish our freedom. Americans will have neither liberty nor security until they abandon the fantasy that the U.S. government can provide economic security, personal security, and global security. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement,
said David Ray should be showing up any minute now. CES and... Ron Paul, weekly update. Who knows? I'm sure I'm already on the list, or the watch list. I know I'm not... Well, I've got dual Homeland Security clearance because I'm an over-the-road hazmat tanker driver. And so I have to have Homeland Security background check and security clearance for my hazmat. And I have to have Homeland Security background check and security clearance for my TWIC card. But that doesn't mean that I'm still not on a watch list. Anybody who opposes the government, anybody who opposes the New World Order and their communist agenda will be on this watch list, I'm sure. So, yeah, just like Obama said, anybody who does not agree with me is a domestic terrorist. Right. Okay, so... What do they say when you point the finger at somebody? You got how many fingers pointing back at you? So that means Obama's the domestic terrorist. Anyways. Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Somebody sent me a text. Oh. It's... Okay, David Ray will be here in 7 minutes. So we're going to be talking about CES, Community Exchange System. And we're going to be talking about taxes. The IRS, or as I call them, the CEG, but... Really, there's a lot of departments of CEG. CEG is the criminal element of government. So, I guess the Fed cannot be grouped into the CEG because the Fed is not actually a government agency. But, that's a whole other subject. Actually, it's not a whole other subject. That actually goes inside with what we're talking about. So, yeah. I'm still driving. I'm out here on the road. I got about an hour to my destination. Hopefully I'll be able to get parking. There's a McDonald's close to where I'm delivering, so, and I got truck parking, and I got free Wi-Fi, so I try to go anywhere I possibly can that's got free Wi-Fi. McDonald's is not on our list of favorite places. Well, actually, no, it is on our list of favorite places, but only because of the Wi-Fi. It's not really a healthy place to eat, but... You know, I eat there sometimes. I'm not perfect. But free Wi-Fi. That's always good. Oh, and they have filtered water. And the pH. I haven't tested the pH of the water. I'll have to test the pH tonight. But basically, tap water's usually got the right pH. Neutral pH, which is what you want. But the problem with tap water is it's got chemicals, which is not what you want. So you get a water filter, you filter out the chemicals, and you've got a good neutral pH, somewhat healthy water. But the best thing to do is get well water, drill for water, preferably in a good location. you know, every location is different. Where we have our aquifers is pretty good in Missouri, but from what I understand, Arkansas is better. So, yeah, we're on the Missouri Plateau, which crosses over into Arkansas. So, from what I understand or what people say, that the Missouri Plateau is the place to be, one of the places to be in the Midwest. But I don't know. I guess we'll find out in a few years. Jumping off the tow road here. Keep to the left. All right, we should be hearing from David Ray here in about a minute. Frickin' toll, son of a gun. I swear, these people. Dang toll didn't, or pre-pass didn't work on the toll. Ah! There it is. Thank you! So they had to manually do it. What good is the toll pass if the toll pass don't work, right? Yeah, I was bragging about Ohio because Indiana's doesn't work either. And now I'm in Ohio and it didn't work. Go figure. Yeah, Indiana's the worst. Taxes and CES. CES, Community Exchange System. You can Google that, Community Exchange System, CES. That'll take you where you need to go, or go to our website, daviddavidanddavid.com. And we have a link there under Community at this time. We got our Community is our directory, and then under, in the drop-down menu, you'll see an option for CES, Community Exchange System. And then ultimately, you want the Ubuntu Community System, but I don't know that a lot of people are ready for that yet. I mean, we think we are, but I don't think we really are ready for that. We need to gradually, hopefully, not too gradually, but, you know, work that direction. But I think if we just dropped everything we're doing now and go to a Ubuntu Community concepts, it would be culture shock for a lot of people. But still,
yeah.
That doesn't mean that's hey!
Hello. Yeah, so I spoke to, I needed a PIN number as well.
Yeah, I gave you both.
Okay, I didn't see the, is the PIN the long one you sent me afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
No biggie.
All right, I misunderstood the meaning of that. That's okay.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, I sent you the access number with the phone number twice. Three times, really.
Okay. Anyway, I did the 1 pound option, and so you had to unmute me. So.
Oh, you mean you unmuted yourself?
No. No, I thought you did. It said, it told me that I was, oh well.
Okay, I haven't muted everybody.
Oh, okay, okay. Because it told me unmuted. I thought maybe because you unmuted me immediately.
No, I don't know how to do that.
All right. Well, have you introduced the program yet?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Yeah, I would suggest that we call it the DD&D podcast and say the joke is that it's Demented Dungeons and Dragons. Mainly because you don't want TSR suing the hell out of us for stealing some proprietary name that they don't quite own.
Right. Well, that's what I was already doing.
Huh.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your thunder.
No, it's all good. I was just letting you know I was pretty much already doing that.
All right, so I'll shut up and let you do it.
Looks like we got traffic up ahead. I got an hour to my destination.
Ah.
And there's like an accident or construction ahead.
Right.
So, Demented DD&D.
Okay, I lost you.
Yeah. Go ahead and start the introduction.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we run a farm out on, we just started. It's out north of Stockton, Missouri, which is a small town in Cedar County. We're about 5 miles north of that town. And we named the farm DD&D. And I'll leave it up to the other Davids as to whether they want to answer why it's called D&D. Oh, wait a minute. I think I just gave it away. Anyway, but at the very least, our joke is that that stands for Demented Dungeons and Dragons. All right? You know, this program probably will have absolutely nothing to do with role-playing games, but we may talk about them every once in a while, but it's not going to be the main issue since I don't think Kano plays any.
No, I don't think that would be mentionable on the radio anyways.
Role-playing? Oh.
Just kidding.
Right.
Anyway.
By the way, he just found a way to make me blush. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah, role-playing games versus role-playing in the bedroom.
RPG. Yeah, I don't do RPGs.
Yeah. Whereas on the other hand, I occasionally will do an MMO, which is not anywhere near as good as an RPG, but you know, it's online, it's cheap, it's free, and it's sort of like a video game. So well, it is a video game. Anyway,
so our subjects today are CES and CEG.
Yes, yes. Taxation. How would it apply with something called CES? Well, what in the world is CES? Because I'm sure most people out there haven't heard of it. We only heard of it, maybe a year ago and still haven't quite gotten the whole concept down.
Yeah, well, yeah, we heard about it a little over a year ago, and I signed up a couple months ago, but I'm still not active. But we're still learning about it, and David Ray may be taking over administration. in our area here in the next few months or so. Who knows?
Right. You just brought up a point that another part of being professional podcasters, whatever, we should probably make a point of introducing the show and introducing the current host. I'm David Ray, and the other host, I guess he can introduce himself.
David Michael Kano Doherty.
Yeah. Or?
Everybody just calls me Kano for short.
There we go. Too many Davids.
Yeah.
And we can't guarantee it, but we hope that occasionally we'll get our third David on here, David Irish from Independence, Missouri, who is our herbalist in the group. And hopefully we'll hear from him. He'll have probably some health stuff to talk about. He also likes talking about, I guess, aliens and things like that occasionally. I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway. So CES. What in the world is CES?
I don't know. What is it?
Oh, my. I think you do a better job of describing it than I do, but I'll give it my best shot. CES is a community exchange system, all right? And a lot of times when I describe it, I find myself saying just that a community exchange system is a system of community exchange. A lot of communities around the world have set them up. A few have been set up in various cities around here in North America. Off the top of my head, I can't name them, but they range from everything from time exchanges to, just basically giving each other credits for things. And sometimes they're used in parallel with
local currency.
The local currency, the Federal Reserve notes, and sometimes they're not. The system, as I understand it, started out in South Africa.
Yep.
Because government agencies were not really meeting the needs of certain neighborhoods. And I'm not sure who came up with the brilliant idea, but somebody created a thing called talent, and they set up talent exchanges. And eventually that evolved to become community exchange system. And community exchange system works something like this. All right, if you're working on a credit basis, as opposed to a time bank, you offer your services and somebody will hire you, and you will charge them so many credits for your labors or your goods or whatever, right? And that'll give you a positive balance, and that'll reduce their balance, possibly even drive them negative, all right? But it doesn't matter if they go negative, right? It's all right for everybody to go up and down within a certain range, okay? As long as everybody on the system is providing some sort of service that other people want, and, if it turns out that people aren't coming to you and hiring you or buying stuff from you, then maybe you should figure out something else, all right? It would eventually get to the point where people would notice that, hey, you're getting stuff, but you're not giving anything, all right? They would probably stop doing business with you because you're not helping the community, all right? But that's an extreme. Otherwise, you're just exchanging credits, all right? You're not exchanging money. There's no money involved in this. You're just giving each other an attaboy, basically.
Attaboy!
Yeah, for having done something. And if you've got a negative balance, it's like, basically I've taken in more than I've given. So I need to go out and give some more. So you know. And, you know, we're kind of used to being in debt, so even though we wouldn't be in debt, we would feel the pressure of, hey, you know, I need to get my balance back to zero, at least.
We as the people.
Yeah, and basically you're paying back your community. You know, so there's a lady that lives down the road from me. She hires me a lot. If I had her on CES, you know, I could do my work for her and rest assured that somebody in the community would be able to compensate me for having done that, you know. And she would probably be able to bake cookies or pies for somebody and they'd give her credit for doing that. And you get enough people on the service, and eventually you get an auto mechanic who'll fix people's cars and get his lawn mowed in exchange for that. And it might not be from the same person whose car he fixes, you know. But, you know, it'll go round and round, you know. Get your roof repaired, you know, get a shed built, get fencing done. Buy groceries. Gee, wow. You know, and it's all local. And that's something else. CES tends to keep things local. I mean, it is possible to, you know, people are already doing it. It is possible to do worldwide exchange via CES. People are doing it. But for the most part, it does keep things local. You get to know your neighbors. You get to know what's available to you locally. And, you know, these kind of people, they tend to be more health-minded, so you get better food and more concern for how they leave your place when they get done, you know, that kind of stuff. All right, so that's kind of a nutshell of CES. What was the next question?
CES versus CEG.
Oh, CEG. What in the world is CEG?
The criminal element of government.
Oh, you mean like the IRS?
Yeah, that'd be one of them.
Oh, the Federal Reserve?
Well, I guess the Federal Reserve could be a CEG because they're not government, but they are a criminal element of government.
Oh my gosh, my head spins. You're saying they're not even government, and yet they control our lives. Wait a minute.
Pretty much.
Let me see about that. But I thought Uncle Sam had some rule, regulation, standard, or guideline that said that only his Congress could issue currency. What are you saying? The Federal Reserve is, you know, this entity is not part of Congress? That it's...
No,
it's
from what I understand, it's part of the World Bank, which is, I guess, maybe their own government in itself.
Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
People who've manipulated themselves into power.
They manipulated themselves into power. Well, yeah, that happened. People
yeah.
find a way of, yeah. When people start accepting that others can boss them around, and they just get bigger and bigger bosses eventually.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Are the modern slavery racket.
Right. Which that's. Brings in Ubuntu and the Ubuntu campaign, which Ubuntu is also started in South Africa, and they are similar but different than CEG.
Yeah.
The long-term goal of CEG will eventually accomplish the Ubuntu philosophy. But the Ubuntu philosophy is more like Ron Paul's philosophy. It's more of an extreme change.
Right.
Which could work. It was just a culture shock to some people.
Yeah, funny you mentioned Ubuntu. I was listening, what is his name, Tellinger?
Yeah.
Tellinger. Yeah, I forgot his first name. Forgot his given name. Sorry. Anyway. I watched the news report where he was interviewed, and he mentioned, well, actually, his interviewer mentioned these communities using their own currency, she called it. And from the description, it sounded like she was talking about CES or talent. And
could be.
Yeah. And he said that he planned on using that kind of system in order to, you know, help bootstrap the system, basically. But ultimately, they drop even that.
Right. So taxes.
Yeah, taxes. Well, yeah. So before we can talk about that subject, I guess we have to give a better working understanding of how CES even works in the first place, right?
Well, there really is no tax. The only tax is the administration fees.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a tax. It's
But I'll take 4% tax over 50% tax any day.
Yeah, and you are volunteering into it by using CES. I mean, you know, so it's not a plunder, you know. And the administrator of your local system can reduce it. I think it's suggested that it be kept at 4% because that pays for administrative costs, printing up flyers, printer, paperwork, maintaining equipment, and the account that goes into the administrator's actual labor would be taken out of that account. And that account's kind of a special case. It's kind of, you know, by entering into the system, you automatically contribute to that account. And if there's very little activity, nothing goes into it. But then if there's very little activity, the administrator doesn't really have to do anything, you know.
Right.
Except maybe hit the road and recruit more people.
Yeah. Yeah, if he's doing a full-time job at being the administrator, then, you know, he would need compensation for that.
But ideally, the system kind of takes care of itself. It is computerized at this point. They are constantly making improvements to it. The people who came up with it aren't really going out of their way to advertise it because they don't feel it's robust enough to handle a huge flood of people. But it seems to be handling those people who are joining into it pretty well. For those of you who are listening who might be in Missouri, supposedly there's a system set up in Springfield, and I need to go check it out. Our friend here locally has set up two systems, one for the Ozark Plateau and the other one for here in Cedar County. Unfortunately, I think there's only 3 people who are signed up and confirmed. And then, of course, there's Kana who signed up, so he'd be the 4th one. The other 3 are not really active, and one of them's our friend. So we'd kind of like to change that. So we figure if we can get, you know, 50 to 100 people signed up, that would be probably a critical enough mass to get things going. But anyway, I was trying to describe how the system even works, and I went down a rabbit hole. All right. So you go to do an exchange with somebody, what you do is you go on the computer and you're going to check their credit basically in the CES system, all right? And the system will have in it a little indicator that the person that you're dealing with
has, you know, basically maintained a near zero balance for the majority of the time that he's been, you know, working there. That if he earns a lot of credits, he goes out and spends them, and if he gets a negative balance, he goes out and does some work in order to bring it back to zero. And, you know, it shows how quickly he's able to make the credit flow. All right. So it's not so much how many credits you got as it is how well you're capable of making the move. You know, and that's, you know, they talk about the economy being healthy when the Federal Reserve notes move around. Well, that's true. Same thing goes for CES. And so basically, if you're capable of moving credits around, you know, on a regular basis by earning them and spending them, you know, then your limits will be expanded in the system. And so somebody who just signs up, they may be able to go out and buy some groceries and maybe a new pair of shoes and something like that, okay, you know, from somebody else who's on CES. And I know the chance of buying new shoes on CES is probably pretty low at this point in this area. But you might be able to go to one of the local thrift stores if you get them signed up on the system, all right? But anyway, so if somebody just signs up, they may be able to not starve for the month, all right? Okay, but, you know, unless they do something to earn some CES, their limits on the system aren't going to expand. But somebody who's been on the system for a while and has demonstrated that they very quickly pay their balance and by going out and helping others and whatever, their limits get stretched out to the point where eventually somebody could go and buy a piece of property and have a house built. You know, if there's enough people in the community that would provide those services and such, and they demonstrate their ability to go out and earn. So somebody's little Toyota's acting up.
Hey, what?
Somebody passing by, their Toyota was acting up. All right. So basically what happens is you sign up for CES and you tell them what you're offering. All right. And it suggests you give at least three things. All right. And so you tell them what you're offering, and somebody, you know, then after you've signed up, you go through the list and see what all is being offered, and you might see that, oh, hey, this person is offering to babysit for so many CES an hour.
And they babysit goats?
Sure, yeah, they could babysit my kids. My kids being goats. All right. So they could babysit some goats and when they're done, all right, you know, I confirm that yeah, they gave me that service and they enter into the computer system. I confirm that they did that service for me, and I give them my code for my account, basically. And the person who provided the service goes in and credits themselves from my account to their account. All right, and so my balance goes down, and their balance goes up. You know, if I'm the guy who just signed up and had my goats babysat. All right.
But if they don't have a computer or don't have the time to go in and do that on a regular basis, that's where the administrator would come in.
The administrator,
you know, like the
Amish,
if the Amish jump on board, they don't got a computer. So they take it to the administrator, and the administrator does it for them.
Right. And our friend Ray Hall is coming up with a system to do that. And he's actually coming with a system where even the administrator wouldn't necessarily have to do it. You could hire somebody else who signed up to enter your paperwork for you. You know.
Well, yeah. If you're if you're processing hundreds of them, you know, or thousands of those CES credits, like you're a big business, you would have to hire somebody to do it for you.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, if we talk Dollar General into signing up for CES, then they're not likely to because they're a big corporation. But, you know, if we were to talk them into it, yeah, they'd have to hire somebody. They'd probably even have somebody in-house who they paid specifically for that purpose. You know, because they...
Well, yeah, they already got somebody in that position. They just add that to their portfolio.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So yeah, I mean, that's basic. But so the question of taxes came up, and I hope it's not too soon to introduce this concept, but say if you're able to talk your local tax agency comes around and says, oh, we see you've earned lots of, what's this, CES? We're going to tax you on it. All right? Well, there's nothing to be taxed. You didn't get anything. Right? You exchanged one service for another. You exchanged value for value. You know, there was no profit. All right? But they still insist on taxing that. The only way it could really be paid is through CES itself. So they would have to sign up for the CES system themselves, and they would have to provide some service and demonstrate that they were really providing a service, because the individuals receiving it would have to be willing to acknowledge that they received that service. You know. Now, it is possible on CES for somebody to go on and say, hey, I did this service for somebody, and bill them for it, you know, even though they didn't give the service. But then that
The paperwork has where you autograph it, so that should cover that.
Yeah. Yeah, and so yeah, Ray, you know, an administrator would then review that circumstance and see, oh, hey, county assessor claims that they did this service for these people, and none of these people acknowledged it. So the CES administrator would have to reverse all of those charges. You know. So.
Right.
So even your tax agency wouldn't be able to get away with the theft that they're currently getting away with. And, you know, and even if people did agree to pay their taxes in CES that way, the county's then stuck with the problem of where do they spend their CES? They really can only spend it locally. So, the community gets it right back anyway.
I don't see them actually signing up for CES, though. I see them threatening you to pay them in Federal Reserve notes and threatening to take your property.
Yeah, I see that. I see that, too.
So they'll basically commit terroristic threat on your livelihood if you don't conform to the New World Order and what the New World Order's agenda is.
Yeah. But the whole reason why the people go for CES in the first place is because they're recognizing that their local governments aren't really standing up and doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, the advantage of CES is if you have a skill and nobody's hiring you because they don't have enough money to hire you to do that, if you do it on CES, suddenly they can afford to hire you.
True that.
So your neighbor who needs to have their gutters cleaned and put up, suddenly this low-level skill of gutter cleaning becomes a saleable commodity, all right? Because, you know, anybody can afford to get something done with CES, provided they turn around and give services back. And so there'd be a whole bunch of small skills to large skills that suddenly be opened up. I mean, you might know a local framer who hasn't had a framing job in a while because, new housing has gone down for a little bit. Okay, I got a couple of friends like that. They go for a couple of weeks sometimes between framing jobs. All right? But what if you had a shed you need to put up? You know, I bet you a framer could do it.
But not only that, but you know, you're talking about affordability. All right. You go from the Federal Reserve notes, which has over a 50% tax on it, to CES, which has 4% or less.
Yeah, 4%. Yeah, be honest, it's 4%.
So you're practically doubling your income.
Yeah.
Just by using CES. So now $10, which we think the Federal Reserve note's worth, is now worth $20 through CES.
Well,
Your labor. You think your labor's worth $20 an hour. Well, through Federal Reserve notes, you're only getting $10 an hour. You think you're getting $20, but you're really getting $10. So if you're using CES, you would really get that full benefit of your labor because you're creating the money, not some foreign agency.
Yeah, and if you're doing regular exchanges with people, I mean, what Kana was talking about earlier about Ubuntu, if you're doing regular exchanges with people, eventually you're going to get to know those people. And you know that you're going to get, you know, your value back because, you know, you go over to the local old lady's house once a week and she cooks dinner, you know, and she knows she's going to get her gutters cleaned every winter and you know, help with her fence mending and things like that. And we're on the rural community, so yeah, there's fence mending. but, you know, she knows that's going to get taken care of. And so, you know, there will come a point where you basically say, oh, never mind. We don't need to keep track of it anymore. You know? And that...
Right, once you earn trust between two people, then there's really no need for currency exchange anymore.
Yeah. Currency exchange is because you don't trust each other, all right? That's okay. You know, you might not have reason to trust each other, all right? You know, you might not be able to afford to trust each other. You know, Lord forbid. You know, you're on your last bit of survival, and you know, somebody asks you for a piece of your chicken, and you know, they say they'll give you something in exchange for it later, but you know, you don't know them, you haven't met them before, right? You might be inclined to hold on to that because you're starving, all right? But
or your kids are hungry.
Yeah, your kids are hungry, stuff like that, right? And so, you know, if they offer you money for it, then you know at least you can take the money and go get something, all right? So it currency, money, exchange systems, they're ways of lubricating the trust issue. You know? So even if you're using stuff that's worthless, you know, like the Federal Reserve notes, at least you have a symbol that says that, hey, I can go get some more value. Right?
Yeah, I see it as another means of exchange, especially in a corrupt system that we have today where you're forced to use Federal Reserve notes or they're, you know, because you have to pay taxes with Federal Reserve notes. You have to do all these things according to the New World Order. So you just supplement your life with CES so that the communist order from the Federal Reserve notes doesn't impact your existence or livelihood or survival is bad. Kind of
right.
Like taking cash from the table, except it's not even like that. It's just like barter.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like barter.
Right.
Well,
people think that, well, we need to pay our taxes so that, you know, we can have roads and all these other things. And, you know, David Ray and I have a little bit of a disagreement on this, but I think that some taxes are maybe necessary. But David's demonstrated how people were able to do things without taxes in the past. Why can't we do it now?
Oh, yeah. We've done extraordinary things in the past without taxes. Humanity has done extraordinary things in the past without taxes. The world's longest road was completely funded by the people who used it and protected by the people who used it. And if anything, if any government along that road came in and tried to tax it, tried to control it in any way, shape, or form, they either moved the road or they exterminated that government. Right? This road, this road is physically the longest road that's ever existed, and it's also the one that has lasted for the longest period of time. Now, today it's broken up. There's bits and pieces of it here and there. I suppose you could drive from one end of it to the other, but you know, it's some of it's going to not really be there anymore. All right. But,
yeah, because the New World Order finally got control.
Well, yeah. You know, look up the Silk Road. All right. You do not need governments to build roads. All right. Never have, never will need a government to build a road. Okay. Now, granted, sometimes governments do build roads, all right, and do a good job of it. But for the most part,
Germany doesn't do too bad.
Yeah, they don't. They don't need to tax the people to do it, all right.
Well, and if they do, they don't need to tax them to death. I mean, come on, 50% taxes. Most of that money just goes and gets wasted on frivolous things that they, you know, hide and cover up. And most of it doesn't even go to what they say it's going to go to. Like the Reagan administration proved that most of our taxes, if not all our taxes, don't even go to pay for all the stuff that we think they're going to pay for. They're going to pay for our debt.
Yeah, it's
not
actually
even our debt, the interest on our debt.
Going for part of the interest on the debt. Yeah, that was the, I read that report. It's a long report. I don't know, but yeah, Reagan commissioned that being done. I know what you're talking about. That report demonstrated that absolutely no income tax, nothing that you pay to the IRS, goes to pay for any of the services that your government supposedly provides you. None of it. Now, I know that's just an open statement from me, but, you know, hey, go look it up. Look up the, well, I don't know, do a Google search for Reagan Report. I'm sure they'll come up with the correct name, right? That's not what it's called, but Reagan did commission the report to be done. And, you know, it details where the money went. Basically, it goes to these banks over in, goes down to, was it Colombia? And it gets redistributed to these European banks where our debt's being paid off to.
Basically the people who own the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, yeah. Which is another sorry joke. I mean, you know, Tellinger brought up that too, when I was watching his podcast earlier today. He pointed out, now he was It was funny listening to his program, actually, because, you know, he was talking about all the same things that American patriots talk about when they talk about the Federal Reserve. He was talking about the bank that issues the rand there in South Africa. right? And they've got exactly the same problem.
Well, yeah, these people got their grubby paws in everybody's business. Just about every country and every nation in this world.
Yeah, last count that I went through, I think there was four nations left that were not part of the IMF.
Right, and so they're the last free nations.
Yeah, and we called one of the leaders of one of those nations a terrorist, and we went and bombed the hell out of his country. He bombed him back into the Stone Age. Or I say we. Uncle Sam did it. Yes, I do live in North America, but I'm not. I do not condone what Uncle Sam does.
Yeah.
Sorry. That may be getting me in trouble with some of you people, but.
You go bomb somebody who's basically doing nothing wrong or very little harm, you go bomb the hell out of them. That's called terrorism.
Gaddafi? You say Gaddafi wasn't doing anything wrong? Oh, no, he's doing this horrible thing. He was introducing gold into Eastern Africa. He was going to free up all of Eastern Africa. The masters in the IMF couldn't have that, so they sent their hound dogs from the U.S. over to take care of it.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What's the definition of terrorism?
Yeah, I'm not saying Gaddafi was a saint, but, you know, I don't see that he was doing anything we had any business interfering with.
Right.
Yeah,
terrorism is using force to achieve a political need.
To achieve a political goal, yes. Using force or threat of force to achieve a political objective. And, you know, every time I see, you know, I'm here in North America, so I see what Uncle Sam's doing. But I know that other countries are doing the same thing. I'm sure France and England and Germany are all doing the same crap. Their governments are, you know, whatever South Africa's government is, they're doing the same crap. They send in their troops to go and basically raise havoc in places where people are just exercising their right to associate with each other, basically, and to conduct their own business. And because they're not giving the international banksters their cut, the international banksters step in like any mafia don would and
punish them.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
You must respect my authority.
Wow. I'd say we've done pretty good. We got about 14 minutes to go here. This is our first real podcast, I guess. I don't know. Is this podcast still zero point something, or is this actually podcast number one?
Well, this is still trial podcast, so I'd say 0 point something. Although I haven't actually did point anything. So even the test podcasts are like, you know, just 01, 02, 03, 04.
Okay.
I think we're at 07 now.
07. Yeah, I'm curious how you're going to number when we get to 010.
Well,
yeah.
It's just going to grow from zero. There is no zero. It's 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, 01 million.
I'm just giving you a hard time. All right. So I would suggest that we probably study up on our subject matter a little bit better before we actually do the podcast.
Well, we have pretty much studied up on CES taxation and all that stuff.
Yeah. But I think we should have...
literature?
Bellinger, yeah.
Facts. Well,
you're breaking up on me.
Yeah. Facts, data, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, facts and data. Yes. Yes, be able to give out links to some of this stuff. That'd be nice. Or like some podcasts do, have show notes, which we can do later. We can throw show notes together. Then again, one of my favorite podcasts, the guy basically does a stream of consciousness on the subject. So, I mean, that's pretty much what we just did.
people can, the power of Google, I mean, you can look up any of this stuff and do your own homework. I mean, that's what we tell people to do anyways, do your own homework. Don't just believe what people tell you on TV or radio. Do your homework. It's like my son is being raised in a religious radical environment, and, you know, he only knows to believe what he was raised to believe. Just like
right.
I only knew what I was raised to believe. Religion, politics, whatever. I mean, public schools teaches you all kinds of crap that's not even true.
Yep.
And so, you know, until we go out and do our own homework on things that we hear and or are taught, we don't really know the truth. You may hear wisdom, but you don't know that it's truth until you double check that wisdom and make sure there's truth. So. Yeah, I was hoping somebody else called in. It wasn't just the two of us, but it's all good. I invited Lenny because this is a great subject. Huh?
Yeah, I'd enjoy hearing from Lenny.
Yeah, Lenny, this is right down his alley. But,
did he suggest you Ubuntu?
No, I discovered Ubuntu from Michael Tellinger, and I found him by doing YouTube or Google searches. I found him under a title, Ancient Technology, or something like that. I thought that I might have discovered him through Kim, but because some of the things he talks about, she believes in, like, you know, the Anunnaki. But that's about the only thing that he talks about that, you know, that would have
been. That's why you've been asking about the Anunnaki so much, because you've been following that.
Yeah, well, you know, because he talks about it, and you and Kim believe in that to a degree, whatever your degree is.
I found it interesting, though, that in his podcast, in his interview, he talks about supposedly South Africa has prophecies that they're supposed to be the leadership for the world in the future. Which, doesn't that kind of remind you of the prophecies of Uncle Sam? The United States is supposed to be the leader of the world in the future, you know, and I'm sure the same thing came out of England and Germany and, you know, everybody's home turf, they have a nation that claims that they're going to be the leaders of the world. I just thought it was interesting to hear that come out of his mouth.
Well, yeah, because we're not supposed to have one leader of the world.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Except God.
Yeah.
So that would be a concerning something or other. If he's going to say something like that, maybe.
Well, it's maybe kind of along the lines of lead by example, which isn't a bad thing.
Oh, okay.
You know.
I thought maybe that was a red flag. Wait a minute. Maybe he's talking the talk, but not walking the walk.
Yeah, well, but he has this, but he brought up this prophecy, and it's like, it's the same prophecy that he got over here, you know, concerning the United States, and I'm sure Canada has a similar prophecy about them, and, you know, and you know, people always assume that, you know,
we're going to rule the world.
It's out of our land that we're going to rule the world. It's like, yeah, I don't think so, buddy.
Right. So, yeah, I figured out that I basically just stumbled across him on YouTube.
Okay.
Because the only thing that he really talks about, that Kim ever talked about, was the Anunnaki.
Now, he's not a bad find. I hadn't heard all that. I did hear what he's talking about, the free energy and stuff. And by the way, we got, okay, that's fine. You know, yeah, he's talking about free energy. I thought at first he was just talking about taking the power companies back and you know, you can't really have free energy. Even if you got a way of producing energy for free, it's not really for free. All right? I mean, I can give you free energy. You put a match to a log, and the log will burn. You get a lot more energy out than you put in. Put in a match worth of energy, and you get a whole log's worth of energy back. All right? And if you're smart, you keep adding logs so that you don't have to put in another match worth of energy. Right, so it's not really free. You still got to work for it. You still got to cut wood and stuff like that for it. Right, so even if somebody comes up with an over-unity generator, the ultimate in perpetual motion machine. All right, I hate to break it to you, but the machine's going to break down. It's going to wear itself out. All right, you may have gotten a lot more energy out of it than you put in. It's going to break down. You're going to have to do maintenance on the machine. You're going to have to shut it down from time to time to keep it going. All
right? Right. Eventually, you might have to buy a new one or build a new one.
Yeah. And it's no big deal. It's just, you know, it's not really free energy. All right? So I was kind of afraid that he was like, you know, it's like, oh, you guys own the power company. You don't have to pay for it anymore. It's like, well, yeah, That's off. Right? I'm glad I was wrong, though. He was talking about, when he was talking about taking the power companies back, he was talking about the people were paying for it twice. They're paying
right.
for it twice.
Double taxation.
Yeah, they paid for it being built, they paid for it being maintained, and then they have to pay an electric bill as well. It's like, it's one or the other. Either don't tax me and let me pay the electric bill, or tax me and don't charge me the electric bill. One or the other.
Right.
You know?
Right. It goes back to paying 50% tax versus 4% tax. You know? If you're going to pay, I mean, you know, so it's like you pay the average tax, income tax, is about 25 to 30%. And then you pay an additional 5 to 10% taxes on everything that you buy. And then what other kind of taxes are there besides buying tax and income tax? Oh, you have property tax.
Property tax.
So you have to pay taxes on everything you own. Whether
well,
you
I'm trying to tell you,
property
is not a tax, it's a tax.
Right.
You pay that one twice. Your employer doesn't pay your share. You pay that share also. That's all money your employer would have paid you if you didn't have to give it to Social Security. It's all part of
right.
how much you're worth to your employer.
Exactly. So even at that, I mean, so there you go. I mean, you're paying 25, say it's 25% because that's about average. 25% tax, but your employer has to match that. So that's another 25% that you would have made if you didn't have to pay taxes, or that you could have made if your employer could have paid you. But turn it around. What if you're the employer? You're paying the employee. Now, you're paying an additional, you have to pay your taxes. Then you have to pay taxes on the employee. That's money that could go into your business to make your business better, to make your product better, or money you can give to your employees as bonuses for for doing good work or whatever, you know. So,
well, forget bonds. It's just plain paying them because that's what they're worth to you. You know, and
right.
It is what they're worth to you, but Uncle Sam and the county and the state is getting their chunk of it. And really, Uncle Sam and the state aren't really worth anything to you. You know?
No, they're a nuisance. They're a hindrance.
Yeah.
I mean, any good businessman would know that if something is not being productive, you need to get rid of it. Well, the government's not being productive. They're being destructive.
Yipper.
So we need to get rid of it. Or fix it. But, you know, fix it by reducing it, reducing the size, reducing the cost, reducing the reach, and reducing the power of government. Scrap,
yeah.
Go scrap. There's our plug for Lenny.
Yeah.
Scrap.
All right,
scrap.
So we're down to our last. We're down to our last minute. This is probably where we'd hear the bumper music. If we had any.
Yeah, I could throw on some Qigong music. Okay.
All right. There you go.
Qigong. I think it's Qigong.
Are you talking about the Chinese religion that they're banning? Have banned for a long time?
I don't know. It's music that's supposed to produce energy healing through sound and music.
Yeah, okay. So you're trying to say Qigong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's either Qigong or Qigong. It's spelled Q-U-I.
Yeah, but it's a Chinese word, so that Q-I is a Qi.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm also.
Yeah, whatever. No, don't explain it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm parked. I'm at McDonald's where I'm going to get on my free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So
you'll wait for Wi-Fi, but you won't buy their food.
Sometimes I do, but very rarely.
Actually, you buy it more often
maybe,
than I do.
Well, I buy it more often if they made healthier food.
Yeah, that's true. They do sell a salad.
Huh?
They do sell a salad.
That's what I try to eat. I try to eat their healthier stuff, but every once in a while I'll get something that's not so healthy, like their fake pork ribs. What is it, McRibs? That was funny when I went there. I was like, oh, well, it's probably not real pork anyway. And she's like, what? Because I was saying their pork was probably not real meat. Or real pork. But anyways. So it might be kosher because it's not real pork.
Yeah, you
but it's not
I
kosher.
Guarantee it's 100% not kosher meat here.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's another thing. I don't like their breakfasts because just about every single one of their breakfast options has pork. It's like you're either with ham, bacon, or sausage. You know, I mean, you could say minus pork, but, you know.
No, they give you a McGriddle with just the egg?
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I don't hardly eat there, so I don't really know all the options. But I've noticed that most of their options are pork for breakfast.
Right.
Dinner, not so much. Lunch, whatever. But definitely breakfast is like every option has pork on it, just about. I think they even their pancakes come with sausage on the side. What do you ask for if you don't want pork? Oh, yeah, I need to take my water tester in there and test their water, see how alkaline it is.
Okay, so I got a question.
Answer.
When you sign up for a 1-hour program, do they cut you off or they just keep you going?
Keep going, because I did a test last night, I think. And actually, it's not 1 hour, it's 2 hours. I went ahead and set it for 2 hours just in case we went over. But last night I did a test, or yesterday I did a test, and I only did it for 15 minutes, and I did a 30-minute recording.
Okay. So, yeah. So let's call this call a night.
Pardon?
Let's do this call this night, and I'll talk to you later on your cell phone.
Okie dokie. Party on, Wayne.
For you.
You're supposed to say party on, Garth.
Who's Garth?
Okay, bye.